promises, as the promises, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. So, Lord, we pray your blessing and ask your help us as we come to it now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Right, here's a question. It's not from Genesis. It's from the book of James, the letters to James. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What causes fights and quarrels among you? He's talking to Christians there, believe it or not, believers, yeah? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire but do not have, so you kill. You covet but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. Well, that's a rum one, isn't it, eh? Well, we're going to be introduced, can you show me the next one, please? We're going to be introduced to the first war that's mentioned in the Bible. It's in Genesis chapter 14. Of course, it wasn't the first war that occurred, because the events that it's talking about obviously assume there'd been a few scraps beforehand. But this is the one that's the recorded one, because it's got to do with Abraham, that's why. So, we're going to look at Genesis chapter 14. Some interesting names. I'll just read part of it, because it's quite a longish chapter. We're going to see all of it, but here we are. Some good names in this one. Tell me how you pronounce them, please. Eh? So, Genesis chapter 14, and it says, at that time, Amraphel, king of Shinar, Arioch, king of Elasar, Kedoliomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goim, went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah, Shinab, king of Admah, and Shemeber, king of Adzeboim, that is, and the king of Bela, that is, Zoar. Now, I'm going to test you on those names later on. Is that alright?
Oh.
Maybe not. Right next, please.
Yeah.
Right, so here we are. Here are these names of these kings. Amraphel, king of Shinar. Well, where's Shinar? Do you know? It's up north. It's this Babylon, basically, before Babylon was called Babylon. He's an associate, maybe a descendant of Nimrod. Remember Nimrod?
Yeah.
The rebel? Well, that's his gang from the north. And Arioch, king of Elasar, and Kedoliomer. That's a good name, isn't it? They've got your name in there at the end. Yes. Right, there you go. King of Elam. Well, they're all northerners, up north, outside the land of Canaan. Right? And they're all called kings. Yes, these kings went to war. What does the name king mean? Well,
big cheese, big boss.
Big boss, yes. They're all full of themselves, that's the problem. They're basically, all they are local chiefs. You know what I mean? Got a little town somewhere, and they've got the Lord Mayor, and he decides to call himself king. You know, that's what it is. It's all about pride, really, isn't it? They're big shots, and they've been throwing their weight around before, as we'll see. But that's what it's about. They're people who think a lot of themselves. Probably like the label king. Yeah. Well, no good. Right, there's only one king.
Yes.
Remember that. Just the one. Right, okay, next then, please. These kings went to war against Bera, king of Sodom, Bersha, king of Gomorrah. You know those places. We'll look at where they are in a moment. But Shinab, king of Admah, Shemeber, king of Zeboim, and king of Bela, that is all. They're all small towns at the south of the Dead Sea.
Sorry? The tribes.
Not tribes, no, just communities, you know,
okay.
Like Wisbeach and March, you know, right? That's what it is, yeah, that's all it is, and they call themselves kings. I mean, you know, how boastful can you get? Anyway, that's what they are, yeah? Right, so we've got the four on one side, they're the northerners, and then we've got the five on the other side, they're the southerners, right? So it's a north-south scrap that's going to go on. Right, so next up, please. Right. All these latter kings joined forces in the Valley of Sidon, that is the Dead Sea Valley. Now then, I've got your names of these guys, and this is the Dead Sea as it is today, right? But the Dead Sea wasn't like that a long time ago. The Dead Sea was more like that on the north, yeah? It wasn't as flooded as it is now. Yes, it got destroyed, as we'll see later in the book of Genesis, at the time of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Yeah, but it was like that, but now this is the Dead Sea. Now it's actually shrinking. They're going to try and fix it by running a pipe from the Red Sea, but that's what it was. So that's where they all gathered. They gathered not in the water, but down in the valley, and the valley was a bit full of tar pits and all sorts of stuff as well. But anyway, that's where they live. Right, next one, please. Right. For 12 years they've been subject to Kedoliomer, But in the 13th year, they rebelled. Right, there he is. Kedoliomer, one of those northerners, he'd been throwing his weight around. Obviously, they were subject to him. What does it mean to be subject to him? Is they had to give him
money.
Tribute
of some sort. You know, money, products, food, that sort of stuff, right? You pay up. It's called protection money. Yeah? You pay up, Rabbo, I'll leave you alone. Don't pay up, there'll be trouble. Okay, so that's how it works, you see? These are kings for you, yeah? They still do it today, don't they, yeah?
Oh, yes.
Yeah? You don't pay your taxes and there'll be trouble. Right, I've got the idea. Anyway, there they are, showing off, thinking they're something, right? Next then, please. In the 14th year, after the third, they rebelled in the 13th year, remember? Right, so, in the 14th year, Kedoliomer and the kings allied with him went out and defeated the Rephaites in Ashtaroth Canaim. Now, they're moving down from the north, you can see Canaim here, and they're moving down to these different places, right, yeah? They defeated the Rephaites in Ashtaroth Canaim. The Rephaites were, you know about the Rephaites? They were the ancestors of Goliath and his mates, you know? Tall boys, right? Big guys. But these northerners sorted them out, right? In Ashtaroth Canaim, the Zusites in Ham, the Emites in Shaveh, Kiriathaim, some great names, aren't they? Yeah. And the Horites in the hill country of Seir, as far as El Paran, near the desert. So they went right down beyond the picture. Right, that's where they went. And they're thrashing people all the way there. They're showing everybody who's boss. Is that right? Yeah. See, these four guys have allied together and they've been used to throwing their weight around, and so now they're making sure everybody knows they are to pay up. That's the idea. Okay, we'll show them who's boss. Next slide, please. Well, they got to the bottom, they thrashed everybody going south, now they turn back and get the people on the west. This is what it's about now. They turned back and went to En Mishpat, that is Kadesh, and then they conquered the whole territory of the Amalekites, as well as the Amorites who were living in Hazion Tamar. So they turn back and they're getting all the others on the way back. Do you think they're feeling pretty cocky?
Yes.
Yes, they've busted everybody. So now it's looking good. So now they've proved all themselves down there. They're now going to sort out those little bunch of rebels. Yeah, we'll fix that lot. Yeah. Okay, so that's where they head for. They're going for the bottom of the Dead Sea, as it is now, the Valley of Sidim. Right, next slide, please. Right. Then the king of Sodom, the king of Gomorrah, the king of Admah, the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, marched out and drew up their battle lines in the valley of Sidim against Kedoliomer, king of Elam, Tidal, king of Goyim, Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now, I'm going to turn the picture off now, and you've got to tell me all those names. Maybe not. Anyway, there you are, four kings against five, and that's where they're going to have a fight, right, at the bottom there in the valley. Right. Who's going to win? Bullies. The bullies are going to win at this time, anyway. Next slide, please. Right. Now, the Valley of Sidim was full of tar pits. Not a very good place to be. And when the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, so that's the leaders gone west, yeah, some of the men fell into them and the rest fled to the hills. So there they are, they're doing a runner. So, the battle lost, eh? King of Sodom and his mates weren't strong enough to face these rather cock-a-hoop people from the north. These northerners are tough people, you know.
Oh, you're
right. Right. Next slide, please. Right. The four, now this is the consequences. The four kings seize all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food. That's what they're about, isn't it? Yeah? Clean them out. Yes. And then they went away. And they also carried off Abraham's nephew, Lot, and his possessions, since he was living in Sodom. It was a dumb move for him to live there to start with, wasn't it? Yeah. But now he's joined up with them. You get the consequences of living with them, right? But he's going to survive this one. But it's a warning. And does he take any notice?
Yeah.
Aren't people stupid sometimes? This is a believer, by the way. Lot is a righteous man. Yeah. And yet, you know, you get involved with the wrong gang, you can finish up in a bit of a mess. Well, he got to go to that area because it was all fertile and good for his animals and his flocks and everything else. And what did Lot have? What happened to Lot? He lost
the lot.
Bo-boom. Right. Next then, please. Now, a man who escaped came and reported this to Abraham the Hebrew. So somebody managed to get out of the battlefield and do a runner and went up north of it. to on the other side of the river and the sea, and reports the bad news to Abraham. Why did he go to Abraham?
Probably because there wasn't any left.
There wasn't anything left, perhaps, yes. But perhaps he knew that Lot was related to Abraham. That's my guess, right? Otherwise, what's the point of telling anybody? You know, just get out the road, yeah? But anyway, he went and told Abraham. Now then, if I want you to imagine you're Abraham now. What would you do if you just heard that your nephew Lot has been taken away by this bunch of thugs from the north? What would you do?
Oh, want to try and rescue
him. Right. Pray for him. Yes. Yeah. Well, if I'd have been Abraham and have said, serves him right.
I'm going to help him anyway. Yeah.
I'm going to help him anyway. Yeah. Well, there you are. What a generous chap he is. Yeah. Well, there you go. Right, Abraham is not going to sit there and do nothing. He's not that sort of guy. Right. So, next slide, please. Now, Abraham was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Anna, all of whom are allied with Abraham. So Abraham's getting on with the locals, isn't he? They're all allied with him. They obviously recognise that God's with him, I guess. That's probably what's going on there. So Abraham's doing all right, sitting under his tree, enjoying the nice and quiet life. And then what happens is your relatives mess it up for you. That's how it goes, isn't it? There you are. Next then, please. Right. When Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit of them as far as Dan. How about that? Hey, I mean, he's got 318 guys ready to fight. And they're part of his household, his little army. He's got his own army. That's why they... He doesn't call himself king, though, does he?
No.
He's a humble guy, but, you know. But the thing I want to mention on all of this is there's the route that he takes. They're travelling back north with all their stuff that they've collected and won in battle. And Abraham nips across and goes after them as far as the place called Dan. That's another Dan. There are several Dans in Israel. That's one of the Dans on that side, yeah? Right, now then, the thing that's important here is to... Although 318 sounds a lot... Does it sound a lot to you?
No.
Oh, right, okay. Because it isn't. Remember, he's chasing an army.
Mm.
Yeah, so, he's taking on something big, isn't he?
Yeah. He's got God on his side.
Ah, he's got God on his side, yes. But Abraham's working in faith. He believes that God's going to help him. Mm-hmm. Right? And he's full of hope. He's going to do it. Right? And he's doing it out of love, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
It's for his nephew. After all, it's family, you know. And so, the thing I put at the bottom there is, you know, you can't just sit back and do nothing. Some things you have to fight for. Yeah? We're not talking about being awkward and bullshit and difficult, but there are some things, and in our time in which we live, sometimes you have to make a stand for what's right. Yeah? Well, Abraham's going to do some fighting if he's going to get Lot rescued. Yeah? So, off we go. Next slide, please. Right. During the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. So there's where the scrap started, yeah? During the night. Why during the night? Element of surprise. And also he divided his men. What's the point of that?
To make them think there's more.
Attack from different points. Completely make them think there's more than there are. Yeah? That's what we're going to find out. Well, if you read the book of Joshua, that's what Joshua did. Right? He split it all. And in the book of Judges. What's his name?
Gideon.
He split his men. 300 he got. Split them up into three groups, and frightened the life. Get it right. Frightened the life out of the people that were there. Of course, that's good strategy. Element of surprise, dark. Split your men up to make them think there's more of you. But what's the important ingredient?
God.
God was in it. God's in it. Right. That's what makes the difference. And so God blessed this to Abraham so that there was a victory. He routed them. They did a runner. How about that? Left all the stuff, of course. And so off they run. Next slide, please. So he recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions together with the women and the other people. Is that amazing, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Now, the interesting thing is, now, this might seem a bit odd in some ways, but... You know, all those other people were blessed because they had a righteous man among them.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Lot wasn't a lot of good, if you excuse the phrase, right? But his being there meant that they got rescued as well.
Yeah.
So, brothers and sisters, you might not think you're doing much. Just be for Jesus what you can be for Jesus, and he might just protect other people as a result of that as well. Okay, so Abraham recovers all of them, including good old Lot as well. Right, next slide, please. Right. After Abraham returned from defeating Kedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. So they're all going back there, and the king of Sodom, is it the king of Sodom that did a runner? Did he get killed? Did he fall in the tar pit? Well, if it wasn't that one, they've elected a new one soon. Yeah, but it's whoever he is, king of Sodom, right? Why do I say wisdom is needed? Abraham's going to need all the wisdom he's got to know how to deal with this thing, because here's a king of a place that is not good, right? And Abraham doesn't want to be bullshit, difficult and awkward, but he's not going to accept anything from this guy. How do you tell somebody who's wanting to give you something, sorry, I don't want your stuff? Yeah. Not always easy, is it? Wisdom needed. Yeah. Well, Abraham's going to be helped, I guess. Yeah. Next slide, please. Right, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. How about that? Yes. Probably more than that. Why did he bring it out?
To feed them.
To feed them, yes. Right, it's got nothing to do with communion. Yeah? Nothing at all to do with communion. All he's doing is bringing bread and wine, because that's the usual stuff you feed people with, yeah? Right, so he's bringing out refreshment. And he's the king of Salem. Well, we're going to look at him next, then, please, if we can, yeah? Right. He's described as the priest of God Most High. So, who was Melchizedek? Well, if you want to read Hebrews, you'll find a bit more about this, but we'll pick up what it says here. Melchizedek, that's his title. It means, Melchizedek means king of righteousness, yeah, which is a Hebrew way of saying righteous king. Yeah, so, that's his title. Like Pharaoh, you know? And things like that. So that's his title. King of Salem. That's where he lived. Where's Salem? It's called Jerusalem now. But Salem is related to the word Shalom. And in the letter to the Hebrews, it makes a lot of that. He's not only the king of righteousness, he's the king of Shalom, which is peace. Right? Okay? Next then. And he's called priest of God Most High. That's the real God. Yes, and interestingly, he's a believer. There aren't many around at this time, you know. But interestingly, I don't know if you look at the genealogies, you'll see that Shem is still alive. That's the son of Noah, right? Because they lived a long time then, right? Yeah. So Shem is still alive, but I don't think that's Shem. I think Shem stayed where he was, up north somewhere. But the influence, the truth about God has survived. Just bear that in mind, brothers and sisters. The world might try to destroy the faith, yeah? But when Jesus says, I will build my church, you can guarantee he's going to do it. Yeah. Right. So, there's a lovely bit. Read the history about that. In the French Revolution, they decided they'd get rid of God, you know. Right? And one of the guys decided that they'd just get rid of all the religious stuff, yeah? And later on, do you know what his house was used for? Printing Bibles. Yeah. And do you know that the Trans World Radio, the radio station there, was used for promoting Nazi propaganda? Yeah, it's now Christian propaganda. Well, it's not propaganda, it's proper truth. Yeah. Right. All right, anyway, that's it. So God's at work, and King Melchizedek, he's one of the genuine guys, real believer, right? He is what we call a type. He's a sort of a forerunner, a picture of. That's what the word type means. Picture of the Lord Jesus. You find that in Hebrews chapter 7. And also, he's mentioned only one more time, and that's in the Psalms. Psalm 110 verse 4. It talks about the priest, the future priest, the future Messiah, who's a priest as well. He says, you are a priest in the order of Melchizedek. Right. Because there's no other priesthood like that. It's special. Yeah, but anyway, you read that in Hebrews. But the thing about him, which is really interesting, is that he is a king and a priest. Now, in the Old Testament period, kings and priests were kept separate. Yeah? If some king tried to do the priest stuff, he got into big trouble. Yeah? King Uzziah had a go at that, and he got leprosy for his troubles. Yeah? So blending priests and kings was out. God separated it. Until, who came? Jesus. He is a king and a priest. Yeah? He's a king, he rules, he's a priest, he gave his life as a sacrifice, he ministers his grace to us. So Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus. It's not Jesus, but he's like Jesus. Yeah, that's the point that Hebrews makes. Right, so next one, please. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham. How about that? He blessed Abraham. To my mind, that's... what's Abraham doing with Melchizedek? He's recognising in this man something special, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? To actually bow down and ask God's blessing through this man is an act of humility, really. That's Abraham all over, bless him, yeah? So he's doing that. And of course, Abraham really is the king of the land. God set him up in that place, yeah? But he's not going around saying, I'm king around here, and throwing his weight about. Yeah? But here he is. He's blessed by the priest of God Most High. Yeah? When he blessed him, he got blessed. That's good. Right, next one, please. Right. And he blessed Abraham, saying, blessed be Abraham by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. Now, what's that tell you about God? Big. Right? Now then, just remember this. What were the gods of the locals? And the kings as well. Their gods were local deities, you know.
Yeah.
They had their little patch. Yeah. What we're told here is that the God that Melchizedek worships and that Abraham worships is the God who made it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. It's good, eh?
Yeah.
Right. Just remember that. Yes. I've mentioned this before. I'll tell you again. Many years ago, someone was asking me at work, when I worked in industry, did I read the stars?
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, I'm probably a bit arrogant the way I answered, but yeah, I said no, I'm not under the stars, I'm under the one who made them.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's right though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so God's true God, the living God, is the one that he's calling his blessing. Right, next one, please. Right, and praise be to God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Is that good? So he's thanking God for what victory Abraham had. Remember, it's not because he had the element of surprise, not because he split his troops up, but because God was working for him. Right? God made the victory secure. So he's thanking God for the victory. He's delivered your enemies into your hand. Of course, we have the victory through our Lord Jesus.
Yes.
So it's not because you're so good and clever and smart and strong, you know. We have the victory because of Jesus. Just remember that. Keep your humble. Don't we need it? Yeah? Next one, please. Right. Then Abraham gave him the tenth of everything. He gave him the tenth. That's called the tithe. That's the technical name for it. Yeah. Tithing is giving to God. But it's only giving to God what he's given you already, of course.
Yes,
yeah. But what did Abraham give? A tenth of everything. Everything what?
What he got back, I suppose.
What did he got back?
Off of all the... what he plundered, you know, got back. From the
well, yes and no is the answer. What he got back, I assume, is some of his stuff that's his possessions. Yeah.
His land.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he can't give him his land because they're living on it already, aren't they? Yeah?
Produce.
The produce, the stuff, the food stuff, that sort of thing, I guess. Yeah. Okay. So that's what he gave. Yeah. So giving to God isn't just about the money. You know that, don't you? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You can give yourself, your time, and all of those things because God's worthy of our praises. Yeah. Right. Okay. That's what he did. Next one, please. The king of Sodom said to Abraham, give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. Well, what were the goods? All the stuff that belonged to the king of Sodom. Yeah? All the property, the animals, the goats and all the other stuff that they'd nicked off, yeah? Now, all that stuff. He says, you can keep all that. I just have the folks back. Right? Because a king without people is no good at all, is it?
No.
You've got to have people to boss around, don't you? So that's what he wants them back for, I guess, yeah? Okay, so he says to Abraham, you can keep the stuff, I'll just have the people. Alright, next one, please. But Abraham said to the king of Sodom, with raised hand, I have sworn an oath to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. You got it, it's the right God we're talking about here, yes? And that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or a strap of a sandal. So he's saying, can't do it, sorry, no thanks. I've told God I'm not accepting anything. Yeah? And so he's really saying it's not about the stuff, not about the money. Yeah? That's not what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
And the next picture tells us what it really is about, which is, yeah? Yeah? You'll never be able to say, I made Abraham rich. because God made him that. Right? And God's going to get the glory. Yeah. So only God must have the glory. That's how it's got to be, dear friends. Let the Lord get the glory. It's the right way about it. Yeah. Next slide, please. So, I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Anna, Eshcol and Mamre. Let them have their share. So those guys who were allied with him, their groups of men and whatever, he says, let them have their share, you know, they won it in battle, it's theirs, right? But I'm not having any. Interesting, really interesting to my mind is that Abraham, while he's got his own standards, his own beliefs and opinions, he's not pushing his views on anybody else. He's saying, if they want their stuff, fine, I'm not having it, that's all. Yeah, yeah. They've got every right to what's theirs. Yeah. So, I think that's really... We can't impose our rules on other people, dear friends. It's really important to bear in mind, you live by the rules God wants you to live by. Yeah. But don't start judging others because they don't do it the old way. Yeah. So that's... Abraham's got a wise example for us there. Right, next slide, please. Right. So, just as a conclusion, this, what stops wars? We looked at what starts wars, all this pride and arrogance and everything else. What stops wars among you? And I want us to think about the things that Abraham did that were a type of peacemaking, right? Well, first of all, he's looking out for others, not for himself all the time. Yeah. In fact, that's what got him to go and look after, to rescue Lot. He's thinking about others as well as himself. Right? He's got a humble attitude. We need a humble attitude. There is only one king. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah, that's important to recognise that. Yeah, if you've got a position of power and authority, just remember you've got someone who's bigger than you are, right? And your power and authority is not there to. Peter talked about it. We're not here to lord it over people. We've only got one Lord. His name's Jesus, and He does things differently. Only one king. And be thankful for every blessing. That's important, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah, instead of wanting more and more and more all the time, be thankful for what the Lord's given us. Yeah. That's all Abraham, yeah? He was happy sitting under his tree, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Generosity to others. Credit where it's due. So he says, they can have theirs, that's fine. And thanks for all the help they've given, all that sort of stuff. Think about others, yeah? And then, finally, putting God in first place in your life. That's really important. Yeah, make sure that the Lord's got first place. And actually, it does help you when you get insulted and people ignore you and do things like that, and nasty things. You know, Jesus tells us, count it pure joy. Yeah? Yeah. Nice, eh? Right. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Because that's what they've done to God's people down the ages. It's proof you're one of God's kids. Mm-hmm. Something to be good about, yeah? Right, so anyway, putting God in first place is important. And I've got this in Romans 12:18. It's a great verse. It's very practical. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. There's a verse and a half. Yeah? If it is possible. Do you know, some people are really difficult to get on with. Yeah? But you make the effort. Right? You've got to make the effort. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Right, lastly. Next, please. This is it. It's a lot of print. It's a quote from Philippians. Right? There's only one king. It's called Jesus. And look what he did. And maybe we ought to emulate his example. It's Paul writing to Christians. That's us, is it?
Yep.
Believe in Jesus, trusting in him. Good. Right? Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. That's the king's way, right? No? Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's how Jesus did it here. He set you an example. Yeah? Not easy. So what do you need to follow Jesus' example?
Jesus.
You need Jesus. And his Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus in us to help us to do that. Well, may the Lord help us to make some progress in that being like him, eh? And following the father of faith, Abraham, eh? He was doing it as well. And remember, he hadn't got a Bible. I told you that last night. He hadn't got a Bible. Yeah, he didn't have fine examples to follow, but the Lord was teaching him. Praise the Lord. Yeah? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace and love for us. And I pray, Lord, you will help us to follow in Jesus' footsteps, as it were, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lord, we realise that we need you to help us in that. We are sinful creatures. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace. But thank you, Lord, it's promised to be available as we put our trust in you. Thank you, Lord, you gave Abraham the victory. Lord, and you give us the victory in the challenges that we face too. Lord, grant us love for others, for you, Lord, that we may be a blessing. We pray your mercies and thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.